Hey, everybody. Welcome to the A1 Auto Body Podcast with your host, Nick Sands. Today, I am talking with a man by the name of Caleb Cashew. He is a tattoo artist out of Las Vegas, Nevada. And he has an extremely interesting business venture going on right now. He's actually going to be giving away his tattoo shop, like some sort of, body modification Willy Wonka. So, thank you so much for joining me today, Caleb.
Thanks for having me, Nick. That's a great way to describe it. Body modification Willy Wonka.
So I guess we'll just ask the first question that I can think of, and that is, what is this that you're doing, and is it real?
Yeah, so that's actually a huge hurdle that I'm hitting right now, is people thinking that this isn't real, that it is too good to be true. Like, who would be crazy enough to just give away their business other than Willy Wonka, right? But so what's happening is I opened a tattoo shop in Las Vegas back in 2016 and have worked endlessly to build this business to make it into what I wanted, and my wife and I ended up getting pregnant back in January. So Las Vegas, I think it's time for us to go. So instead of closing the business, I'm giving it away in a raffle. So one lucky winner who has the golden ticket is going to win. It's not just like, oh, I want a business. Like they're winning tons of the supplies on the inside of the business, the lease of the business. It's basically turnkey. Like, I'm going to hand them the keys and the business is up and running. They can walk in that day and be making money off of clients that we already have because the business is already established.
That's amazing, first of all. How did you come up with that idea? Like, were you just sitting there and you were like, I can't even imagine how I would come up with that idea. I'm very curious to hear how this kind of fleshed out.
It was actually just kind of a lucky thought, I guess. But originally, I was like, if we leave Las Vegas, what am I going to do? There's a few options. I could close the business, and then all of the hard work that me and my artists have put into it kind of dies right then. I could try and sell the business. That really cuts out a lot of opportunity for a lot of people, because to buy a business, you got to be able to get a business loan, or you have to have the revenue to do that. And also, what would it be worth for me to walk away from the business if I were to sell it? Like, I kind of set the number kind of high because all the work that we've put into it and the business that we have established. So I was trying to figure out a way that I could hopefully gift it to someone who would really appreciate it and try and push it further than I have, but at the same time allow the opportunity to be presented to everyone, everybody to be able to take part in that opportunity for them to get something as amazing as a fully functional business for really minimal investment. So, we've done for tattooing, we've done raffles before to give away gift cards for tattoos, or to give away, one session for as much tattooing as you want. So it's just kind of an idea after seeing how those have raised money and paid for the product that we were giving away. I was like, maybe, if I can make this idea grand enough and make people realize that it's real, that it could make the amount of revenue that I would be looking for if I were to, in fact, just sell the business to one person.
That's super thinking outside the box. Like, I mean, I feel like the number of people who probably would think of doing something like that and then execute on it is probably extremely, extremely small. I just really impressed with that as a business move. I think that's a superpower move.
Thank you.
What does it take to kind of own a tattoo shop in Las Vegas? And I would imagine that if you're going to own a tattoo shop, like Las Vegas is the place to be, right? Because there's a lot of people making dumb mistakes.
It is making that mistake. Did you say that mistake?
Dumb mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it's the perfect place. Like, if you're going to fish, go to – or, yeah, if you're going to fish, go to a pond with fish in it, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, Las Vegas is actually a pretty cool place to own a tattoo shop. This is the first one that I've owned, but I have helped open other tattoo shops. One of the main ones over in Clarksville, Tennessee, a shop called No Egrets, which is now – one of the most popular shops in that city and pretty much in that region. People drive from all over to go to that shop. But Vegas is, it's a little bit different than owning a shop in a regular town where you're dealing with the same clients over and over and over, because we're a tourist city. So you see a lot of different people. But the cool thing is that I've noticed from tattooing here for 8 years is you do end up seeing like the same people a lot, but it's only once a year because they come in for a convention or they come every year for their birthday or their honeymoon or something like that. But that's always neat, because then it's like they come in, you meet them, you kind of get to know them, and it's like, hey, I'll see you next year, you know, and they come back and you kind of get this rotation of the same people that you know, but it's just on a longer timeline. But yeah, Vegas is a great spot for it. And the cool thing about Black Omen too is we're not directly on the strip, so we're not dealing with the insane traffic. I mean, where we're at, there's still traffic because we're close to the strip, but we're not dealing with like the strip being super backed up and everything like that. But we're close enough to the strip to where we still catch clients from it. And then we're also like super close to the Las Vegas Convention Center, which is like they have huge conventions over there, the Concrete Convention. I think Barrett Jackson's at Mandalay Bay, so that one's not there. But there's all sorts of car conventions and everything. And then we're also super close to the college over here. So we're kind of smack in the middle of those three key points. And then walking distance from the Virgin Hotel, which used to be the Hard Rock, but they're changing it over now. but yeah, Vegas is great for tattooing. Honestly, it's been super lucrative for me. I've been very fortunate here.
I know that we talked a little bit beforehand, and you said that the reason. Why don't I just let you explain the reason? Why have you decided to do this and move away from your hometown?
From your
business, I'm sorry.
Business, yeah. I was like, I wasn't born here, but
where were you born?
I'm originally from Southern Oregon. But then you went all over,
huh?
Yeah, I've kind of lived all over a bit. I lived Oregon. I went to school in San Fran for a little while, went to school in Colorado for a little while, and then lived in Tennessee for 8 years before moving to Las Vegas. So a few places there. But the reason is, like I said, my wife and I we got pregnant back in January. So actually, our baby's this Sunday is 38 weeks for us. Our baby is like, he's a coming, he's about to be here. And it's both of our first child, which we're super excited about. And my mom's first grandchild. So I'm super excited about that for her. My grandma's first great grandchild, which is real exciting. And my mom and grandma are in Florida, Ocala, Florida. And then my wife's family is from Pennsylvania. So the main reason for all of this is just because we're having a kid and we want to be closer to family, because family has always been super important to both of us. but now, so since we're having a child, it really drives it home. And also just the state of the world right now, you know, it just goes to show how much more important it is to be close to your loved ones.
Absolutely. I actually, you know, becoming a father is such an exciting and awesome time in your life. You know, my son's 4 now, and it's just like, I can remember the lead up to it was very exciting, but it's hard to like really, it's hard to really wrap your head around it, because you think you understand like what it is. And then, you know, your child is born, and then you see them and you're like, oh my God, like this.
Yeah.
This is it. Like in the best way possible.
I've definitely heard that. And I'm super excited. I can't wait. Like my wife, Brittany, she's a little nervous about the delivery and everything, rightly so. You know, I would probably be too if I were in that position, but I'm super confident in her that she's going to do great. And like, I'm very excited to meet my child and to have a family and everything like that. But I'm also excited for her to grow as a person and see like the obstacle that she can overcome in childbirth and like learn that she is strong enough to do that and everything. But yeah, I can't wait to meet them and kiss their little face and experience that type of love. Absolutely.
It's amazing. It really is. And also you never like you were just saying about your wife, you know, like when my son was born, it was just like you realize just how amazing like your wife is and like the human body and the fact that like she made this, you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah.
It's a very surreal experience. Like my son was premature and we were in the hospital for about a month. And I just remember being like, I can't believe, like, it's just so hard to wrap your head around. Anyways,
yeah.
We'll get back to talking about the tattoo shop, but I just am very excited for you.
Yeah, no, that's exciting though. Like I never thought I would be in this position. So now I catch myself talking to people who have kids and being like super excited to talk about that. You know, it's interesting how it changes you when you accept it and it's something that you want.
There's definitely hard times coming, so don't be fooled. It's not always.
Oh, no, I don't think that it's going to be easy by any means. Absolutely not. But
I feel like that's one thing that our like kind of generation is much more open about is the hard parts of childhood. Like, I feel like, or the hard parts of raising a family. I feel like a lot of older people that I talked to leading up to it just were only talk about the positive, but it's rough. It is very rough.
Yeah, no, definitely. People are a little bit more honest about, like, hey, this little dude's being an asshole, you know, instead of being like, oh, my child's all rainbow and sunshine all the time. But we all know that's not true because we weren't when we were kids, you know. So
as long as the good outweighs the bad, that's all that matters, and it definitely will.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, that's the main reason is to get closer to family, to not have to take a plane ride for my mother to see her grandchild, you know. My grandparents were super important in my life. When I was going to school in San Francisco, I lived with my grandma in San Leandro for a few months, and she was a super important person in my life. My mom's always been a very, very important person in my life. She got remarried. My dad passed a few years ago, but she recently got remarried. And she got married to a guy who used to be me and my brother's karate instructor. So, you know, he was a very important person in my life and still is as well. So I really want to allow my child to experience them as people instead of just stories and, you know, just like once or twice a year. So like I said, Vegas has been great for us. My wife is a cocktail server at Marea, which is one of the the adult pools at Mandalay Bay, and she does pretty well there, you know, like absolutely no complaints. She's union and everything. So we are leaving behind a big part of our life that has a very good foundation, but it's in the benefit of being closer to family. So it is the step that we have to take.
When you picture like this raffle and how it, and like, let's say, let's like fast forward a little bit. When you picture the end, right, and you picture like pulling that number and like transitioning, how do you picture all of it going? Like, how do you picture handing over and like what kind of steps are going to be required of, you know, both of you guys to actually like go through with this?
Yeah, that's a great question. Absolutely. Like I said, this is my first business, and so I haven't sold a business or anything like that, but from what I understand in the research that I've done and everything, and as my lease says in every state, my lease states that I can sell my lease to someone else and they can take it over as long as they're legally qualified, which the website runs over all this stuff, but I definitely want to break it down to you. Basically, someone needs to be legally qualified to take on a lease. And it's about the same as renting a nice apartment. You have to put a security deposit down, you know, utilities in your name. So you have to have a bank account to have those things, you know, and then you have to sign a legal agreement with the building management company that you are going to rent this place for X amount of time. The way I'm hoping that everything goes is smooth, of course, but the way that I'm picturing going, we're going to do the raffle on Instagram live video. That way there's like nobody can be like, oh, this was set up. Oh, you cheated and you had that number picked from the starter or something like that. Like that, I want to completely extinguish the possibility of someone being upset and thinking that there's some form of foul play. So we're going to do it on Instagram Live. And then once that number is drawn, whoever's number that is, we'll get in contact with them. I've been saving all the phone numbers, email addresses, and addresses and everything, because I'm shipping out prints for each one of these, so I have all that information. And whoever wins it, we'll get a hold of them, let them know that they won it, and as long as they can meet all those legal, they can fit those parameters, then we sign over the licenses, the insurance, the lease, and I hand them the keys. And I mean, if they want my advice or, you know, anything like that, I'd be glad to give it to them, you know, tell them what's been working for me for the past 4 years running this ship. But hopefully it'll go pretty smoothly and easily. But it's basically about the same as renting a nice apartment or buying a car or something like that, you know.
When you, so you said like there is, it's not a stipulation, but they have to be able to like take on this like lease. They have to be legally eligible to take on this lease. What would happen if you pulled the ticket and you found out that they weren't?
So I've gone over that as well, and that's an excellent question too. There's not a set period of, I didn't put a set period of time for the person to be like, yes, I'm legally qualified or I'm not. I think that should be pretty obvious once you talk to the person and they find out that they've won. If they're like gung ho, like, yeah, let's get it done, that type of thing, and they are legally qualified, like I'm not just going to shoot them down right away or anything like that. That's absolutely not going to happen. I'm going to try and help them any way that they can. But if it just can't happen, like, we can't draw this out for months and months and, you know, be like, all right, you need to start a bank account. You need to deposit this much money. You need to get, you know, a money order for this. Like, I can't hold someone's hand through this whole process, but I will try and help them through it. But if that's not the case, then we will repeat the Instagram Live random number generator to pick a winning ticket. We'll repeat that up to three more times. So out of four ticket holders, one of those has to be able to. Like, if out of four of those, none of those people are able to, then I should go play the lottery, because that's craziness, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I hope that that question didn't come off as, like, you know, rude or anything. I want people to understand that, like, this is a legit thing that you have thought out very well, and it's not, because I would imagine in your position, the hardest thing you must be dealing with is getting people to believe this.
Yeah, and no, you didn't come across rude or anything. I've ran it past, like, my close friends and people who I consider mentors and things like that, and have tried to find the holes in it to where people are like, oh, well, it won't work because of this. Oh, what if that happens? And tried to come up with contingency plans to make sure that it can happen and that there will be a winner and that someone will be getting the shop and hopefully they'll be running it. I mean, there will be all types of people entering this. So what the person does with it, that's going to be up to them. If I could choose, I would hope that it would be someone, like I said, who's going to enjoy it and push it further than I have. But yeah, building the legitimacy of this is definitely the hardest part, because there are so many internet scams and just people out there trying to sell your product and never ship it out, or, you know, find a way to get your email address and everything else. And that's not what I'm about. So I've tried to build an Instagram and a Facebook to where when people look at it, they see that it is something that's happening on a specific date, no matter what. And they do have the opportunity to be part of it.
After speaking with you, I do plan on buying some tickets myself. So
awesome.
For what? So
I'll definitely
scam. You fooled me.
Yeah. Well, I got one. All right. There we go. I can retire now.
How many tickets are actually being given away?
There is an infinite number of tickets that can be given away, but to try and reduce the pool of people who will be entered into this, that way people feel a little bit better that they could possibly win this, instead of being like, oh, well, a million people are going to buy it, there's no way I'm going to win. You know, to try and reduce that, I've set a specific number of tickets that after that many tickets are sold, the raffle date can be set 60 days out from then, that date. So to go over that in a little bit better detail, the raffle date is July 21st, 2021. Whether only you buy a print and get a ticket, which that may be lucky for you, maybe you shouldn't air this podcast, just buy one.
This will
shut
be
down
aired on July 22nd, 2021.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. But so no matter if I only sell 10 prints or I sell 100 or I sell 1,000, whatever, the raffle will be happening July 21st, 2021. However, I set the number at 2021, like the year. If I sell 2021 prints before July 21st, 2021, then the raffle date will be moved to 60 days from the sale of that 2021 print. So if that 2021 print sells January 1st, 60 days from that date will be the day that the raffle happens instead of July 21st. Does that make sense?
I'm mostly blown away by the odds of that. So like 2021 tickets, are one out of every, so you have a one in 2021 chance to win this. That's actually really good odds. considering the payout, you know?
Unless you get more tickets. But so it could be more than 2021, but it should be relatively close to that number because there will be 60 days after that for more prints to sell, which
right.
would be more tickets going out. And also right now I'm doing for the first 100 orders, I'm putting an extra ticket in there. So if you order one print, you're getting two tickets. So that's a big bonus as well.
That is.
Because the 2021, that's set for print sales. That's not set for tickets given away.
Gotcha.
So the number could be a little bit more, but still the odds are going to be pretty damn good, you know. And in business growing up, my dad always said everything should always be mutually beneficial, and that's kind of what I've built Black Omen on. You know, I've worked in the casinos in Las Vegas, and I'm not saying they don't do good work. They definitely do great work. But it's like buying a drink on the strip. You're paying, you know, $20 for a beer that only should cost you $3. So when I built this shop, I wanted to make something that our kind of motto is quality tattoos without the strip price, because we're doing work that's equal and better than some of these places, and we're giving a local tattoo shop price. So I wanted kind of the same model for the raffle, you know. That's another reason that I'm not just selling it for a flat out price, because that doesn't really benefit everybody involved, you know. That benefits someone who probably already has businesses and is making a ton of money and is just some rich person getting richer. I've worked with a lot of tattoo artists, and I wanted to level the playing field to where this could be their shop and they could get in, and they don't like a lot of these guys, you know, we're artists. So we kind of live by, you know, like we just, artists don't really think about the future a lot, I guess. I don't know if there's like a nice, not all of them, I don't mean to group us all, but a lot of us in the tattoo industry, you know, like we like to have fun and we're kind of living like week by week and stuff. So I was fortunate enough to be able to open something like this, but I've worked with a ton of people who I know could do it as well, but they're just not set up to do it. So this is really opening the door for those people to have that opportunity. I just wanted it to be a good business transaction to where everybody involved feels good about it. And that's another reason that instead of selling tickets or like charging money to enter the raffle, I'm selling prints. So no matter what, nobody walks away empty-handed. Every single person is receiving something for their money, and they're just having the chance to win something else that is super epic.
Do you think that someone entering this should already have kind of experience in the tattoo industry? Or do you think that, like, the ability to run a shop, you know, can be learned fairly quickly?
Well, tattoo industry is quite a bit different than a lot of other industries. So I have encountered that question a bit as well, because I was kind of blasting out emails and messages to people on Instagram and everything, and telling them, hey, I'm giving away my shop. And a lot of them wrote back and they're like, I'm not a tattoo artist, or, you know. Also, another one is, I don't live in Vegas, which we can get to that a little bit later. But do they need to be a tattoo artist? Not necessarily. Do they need to have experience running a business? No, I think that kind of depends on the individual, you know, like what type of personal skills you have. And if you're like fresh out of high school and have never worked a job, is this the thing for you? Or are you maybe going to fail as a business owner? Like, that one's going to be a real toss-up. That one's going to be pretty iffy, you know. But if you're an adult and you've worked a few jobs and you kind of understand, like, people skills and managing people and, like, getting a paycheck or whatever like that, then it should be pretty simple. The tattoo industry is cool because all the people involved, unless you're hiring, like, desk people and things like that, which – at this shop you don't really need them because it's a smaller shop. The cool thing is everybody is an independent contractor, and so what that means is you don't have to pay into unemployment or Medicaid or workers comp or anything like that. Like, they are contracted for the work that they're doing, and they're required to pay their own taxes on it. So usually in tattoo shops, everyone I've ever worked for, some of them, they rent the booth, but usually it's a commission base. So, like, if someone comes in, say that I'm working for Black Omen, and they get a $100 tattoo, I keep X percentage of that, and then the shop gets X percentage of that. And then I'm required to pay the taxes on my portion of it. So the business doesn't have to go through, like, writing paychecks to people and making sure that the money's going to the correct places, to where if they're injured on the job or something like that, they can get their workers' comp or anything like that. It's all independent, which really simplifies it from a business owner standpoint. It makes it a lot easier. You're mainly worried about paying the bills and keeping the lights on and making sure that you know that you're going to have an artist in the shop, because people are going to be coming in and getting tattooed. So I've worked for shops where the managers or the owners, they came from, you know, the retail industry or working in restaurants, and they did a fabulous job. You know, you don't have to be a tattoo artist to run a tattoo shop. And that's another thing that I've been trying to get across to people. But I think people kind of have this idea maybe about the tattoo industry that they're like, oh, the only people who ever own tattoo shops are tattoo artists. It's this closed group of people, but that's definitely not the case. Does that make sense?
It does. I think a lot of people who feel that way probably don't realize, and this isn't a slight to anybody, but I feel like it probably helps to be an artist, because at the very least, you always know that there's going to be an artist in the building, right?
Absolutely. And also, you know, like, if someone calls and they say, how much is a butterfly on my back? Which you can learn that not being an artist, but it helps to know the job, to be like, you know, how big do you want it, the color, all the detail specific stuff. But yeah, keep going. Sorry.
I was just going to say that there's really, like, all businesses kind of break down into three areas. There's the product, and then there's sales, and then there's marketing. And all three of those pieces of a business have to be in place. You can't have – I mean, you can have – if your tattooing is, like, super, super good and, like, unbelievably good, like, people – like, if you're a Sailor Jerry, you don't need to do a lot of sales and marketing, right, because you're getting – people are just coming to you because you're a Sailor Jerry, right?
Yeah, but it took him a long time to get there as well.
Absolutely. What I'm saying is that there's so much more to a business than just the actual art of tattooing.
Absolutely.
That, you know, same with the body industry. Like, you know, you don't have to be able to paint, because being able to paint and balancing the checkbook and, you know, keeping the lights on, getting customers in the door, all of those things, those don't require you to be able to swing a hammer.
No, that a lot of people don't understand that. And there's a few books that cover it that are really good that I read when I started my business, because I had no idea about it. I'd only worked in tattoo shops and felt that I could do it or do it better. And then I opened my shop and I was like, wow, this is a lot different than I thought, because I've never... like all the jobs I've ever had, I've never been a manager or like a shift manager or anything like that. Like, I've worked in restaurants and worked construction, but I was never responsible for anybody working underneath of me. So I didn't really understand that point of it. So I read, like, if you've heard of the E-Myth.
I'm sorry, what is it?
The E-Myth, like the letter E and then the word myth.
No, I've never heard of it.
Oh, it's a great book. I can't think of the author's name right now, so I feel like an idiot. But
okay. You're not an idiot. You go to the tattoo shop.
Yeah. I just draw pictures for life, man. but it's about exactly what we're talking about how people think that it's all one thing, but it's not. There's the product. There's the person who knows how to put those pieces where they belong and get it out in front of the people that it needs to be out in front of. And then there's the person who knows how to take care of the legal side of it, which would be the bills and everything else. So there's different parts in a business to where it doesn't have to be one person who does all that. You just have to be able to delegate it. And in the tattoo industry, it's really simple because tattoo artists, they are the product. And also they work on getting themselves out in front of people because the more people who want to get tattooed by them, obviously the more money they make. It's not like working somewhere and selling shoes, and the more you know about shoes and the more shoes you sell, the more you make. You're getting paid an hourly wage. These people are getting paid commission. So they want to do as much work as possible to make more money. So the main goal of the owner, which is something that I've struggled with because I'm a tattoo artist as well. It's cut me a little thin on the owner side because I'm focusing on drawing up tattoos and dealing with my clients and, you know, putting 30 hours into a sleeve and things like that. It kind of takes me away from like, oh, what event can I arrange for my business? How can I advertise it? You know, how can I get it out in front of people for free and everything like that? But someone could come into this, and I think that it would be really beneficial for them to come into it and approach it from more of an owner standpoint than a I need to do a bunch of tattoos standpoint, to work on the business instead of in the business.
That was kind of the point I think I was trying to make, is that like it should almost be a goal of any business owner to make it so that they can step away and work on growing the business as opposed to working within the business. Because if you're spending all your time inside of the business, then you're not, you're not being able to grow your business. And if your business isn't growing, it's dying.
So 100%.
Being able to actually like not tattoo, even though, I mean, like you said, there's some stuff you want to be able to know about tattooing, like especially for like estimating and cost and whatever. But at the end of the day, even if you are a tattoo artist, you may be better off not actually practicing your art and instead focusing on building your business.
Yeah, well, that's all of that is completely true, and like can't drive all that home enough. But this opportunity, the cool thing about it is, once people look at this and they say, oh, this is a legitimate thing, like this is happening, instead of being like, oh, is this a scam or whatever, once they realize that, this opportunity is monumental because it is all-encompassing for anybody who is basically alive, because we all need to make money to survive, you know. If you're a tattoo artist, this is a great opportunity for you because you'll be owning a tattoo shop to where you'll have other artists working for you, making you money, which means that you can slow down on tattooing and focus on the tattoos that you want to do and more perfect your art instead of doing all the tattoos because you have to do them to pay the bills. If you're a business owner, this is a great opportunity for you because a tattoo shop is a pretty easy thing to run because, as I said before, we're all independent contractors. So that really eliminates a lot of the headache between the owner and the workers. We're not employees, but you know what I mean. And then as the last one, which is as an opportunist, which this is kind of my least favorite, but still like I have to acknowledge it because it's part of it. And I'm not mad at it. It's just not the ideal route that I want Black Omen to take. But as an opportunist, this is a huge opportunity. One, if you want to try and run a tattoo shop, but also the opportunist who just sees dollar signs, I'm not giving away just an empty shell. Like, the business name and all that stuff is worth someone who wants to keep the business. It's not worth anything to someone who doesn't want to keep the business. However, I'm leaving tons of supplies on the inside of the shop. So to the opportunist, they can buy a $50 print, win the business, and just the vending machine in the shop alone is a $3,000 vending machine. So right there, you come up $2,950, you know. So really, this opportunity is something that anybody could take part in.
That was actually the other point I was going to bring up, and I wasn't thinking so much as the opportunist, but I was thinking, like, let's say you buy the business and you realize within 3 months, like, this is not going to work. This just isn't me. You still have a business that you can either sell or you can piece out or, you know, whatever, you know, and I'm sure you don't like to hear that, but.
Yeah, like I said, it's something that when I decided to do this, the only way I could avoid from that happening would be to close the business down. That's the only way that could possibly not happen. Because even if I sold the business to someone who, like, when I talked to them, I was like, oh, this person's a good person. Who knows what they're going to do with it once it is in their name? You know, they could run it into the ground. They could close it. They could, like you said, part it out, basically. So the only way to avoid that would be by closing it. And that's not what I want to do. There's a lot of people who know the shops here, who have come to the shop, who only come here because, you know, the relationship that we've established with them, which we can talk a little bit about that a little later too, because people have asked, well, if you're leaving, like, why would the clients come here and stuff? We can cover that later. We'll keep going on this point. But yeah, so there is that opportunity for people who do only see dollar signs and are like, I don't want the business. Or like you said, 3 months in, they're like, this isn't really for me. They could try and sell the business and pocket a good amount of money for that. One of my artists actually said, he's like, I'm going to have to buy some prints from you, man. I wish I knew that you were going to do this. I would have just offered to buy the business from you. And I was like, well, I want to sell it to you anyways, because I want to do the raffle. Like, it's such an epic thing. I have to do it. And he's like, well, I might just get a hold of whoever has the winning ticket and try and buy it from them. So, I mean, there's an opportunity right there, you know?
Well, this is, and you can correct me if I might be wrong on this, but Black Omen Tattoo. So, like, if I go buy those prints, like, all of that original artwork, like, and this is just thinking way outside the box, but all of that original artwork is owned by Black Omen Tattoo. Someone could theoretically take your business, sell it, part it out, and sell original tattoo flash prints using a really good marketing plan on Instagram, you know, for the rest of their life, and have an e-commerce business. I mean, this is such a massive opportunity, and there's so many areas that it could go. I think it's amazing, and I think,
yeah,
like I said, I plan on buying tickets. I've never owned a tattoo shop.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is like, seeing the business that you've put together and what you do and talking to you, like, I know you could do it. And so here's another point we were kind of talking, because we were talking about what type of people could own the business. And another thing we said was people who don't live in Las Vegas. This is another one I get. People saying, well, I don't live in Las Vegas. This is a great opportunity for people who don't live in Las Vegas as well. One, like, when I thought of this and doing it as the raffle, like, this allows the tattoo artists, we'll just say tattoo artists for the main example. This allows the tattoo artist who's, you know, out in Montana, who's tired of being out there and wants to move to a bigger happening city. This gives them the chance to come here with an already established business, to where they're going to walk into something to where they're making money from day one, you know? And then also, not every business owner lives where their business is at. So, That's another thing. I mean, granted, if you won this place and you didn't want to live here, it'd probably be good to spend a month or two here and make the connection with the correct artist who's going to be managing the shop, or hire the correct person to manage the shop. But it's not a business that you have to be in 24/7 if you know how to delegate the work properly.
That's another, I think, and just to expand on that a little bit, I think, you know, if someone won this, they could, because I'm sure that there's plenty of tattoo artists out there that have the skill and the know-how to run a shop and just don't want the responsibility of it. But you could probably find one who would love to be a manager of one who maybe doesn't want to do as much, you know, actual art time. And who would be happy to manage your shop for you for, you know, 56, you know, I have no idea how much you guys make, so I'm just completely making up numbers off my head. But let's say, you know, your shop makes $100,000 a year. I'm sure there'd be someone very happy to, you know, run your shop for $70,000 a year, and you're still pocketing $30,000 a year that you weren't making before.
Yeah,
and again, completely made up numbers. I want to just really put that out there. I just completely made those numbers up and have no bearing on reality.
Well, I will say those numbers are a little low, but I'm not going to say exact numbers. Realistically, I think the best approach for something like that would be to go the same way that a tattoo artist works. And if you hired a manager, like, if it was someone who was already involved in the tattoo industry, I would offer them a percentage. So the better the shop does, the better they do, you know, instead of giving them this set salary. If it was somebody who wasn't in the tattoo industry, maybe give them a weekly pay, but then also give them the incentive of a smaller percentage. That way they still have that drive to push this place forward as hard as possible. And I've found with my artists that I've hired here, that's really the best approach for me, is instead of, like, most artists make 50%. It depends. Like, some of my guys vary because they've been with me for a long time and everything, but we'll use 50% just for conversation's sake. To tell them, you know, like, we get paid weekly, or really you get paid out after every tattoo you do. It just depends on how the business is ran. I do it after every tattoo they're done. But I say after you've made X dollars in the week, your percent goes up from 50 to this percent. That way they have that drive to make that gross sale of, you know, say $1,000. Make that sale. They're working really hard to get that, because they know after they get that, everything after that, they're pocketing a huge percentage. So it kind of secures your sales a little bit by giving the artist a reason to work harder. So the same thing with a manager. If you gave them, you're like, hey, I pay you this much a week, and then I give you this percentage of sales, or you could even say after we've done, you know, $4,000 in sales, I give you 20% of the shop's take on every sale after that. Like, that would be a huge incentive for the person that you take in as a manager to be like, I want this place to do well. I want the best artists in here. I want the best clients in here, and I want everybody to be happy, because why would they not want that? You know, that's only going to make the business better.
And going back to the idea that, like, not living in Vegas would make it pointless for you to own a shop there. I mean, there is a lot, especially with, I mean, modern technology. You can, again, you can handle pretty much 90% of the marketing, handling the social media, handling building the name right from your computer, literally anywhere in the world.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I wouldn't necessarily suggest this. But you, I mean, like, you could always just hook up cameras in your shop. I mean,
I got good news. There's already cameras in there.
Well, I was just saying, like, you probably don't, it wouldn't look, you know, if you feel that you need to put cameras in there because you don't trust your shop manager, then you should probably find another shop manager, I guess is my point.
Well, I mean, I absolutely agree with that. Like, if you feel like you need cameras for that, then yeah, you should. But I have cameras up for liability purposes.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Like, we're doing a medical procedure on someone, you know, if something happens, which it never has, but if something did happen and they're trying to file a complaint or whatever, we can go back and look at that footage, you know, and make sure that everything was done properly. And also, like, it is Las Vegas. Like, you know, it's a big city. Crime does happen. I've never experienced it in Las Vegas. I've been here 8 years. I've never had a well, I've had my car broken into once, but it wasn't at Black Omen. It was when I worked down on Fremont Street. But other than that, like, I haven't experienced any crime. But there's always that possibility. So it's just, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of regret. So just have cameras out. So we already have cameras, you know, and sometimes, like, when I'm out of town for a week or something like that on work or vacation or whatever, I check the cameras just to see what's going on, see what my guys are working on, you know, and hit them up and let them know that I'm checking in on them. You know, that's not a bad thing unless you make it a bad thing, if you make it intrusive.
Right.
You know,
that's kind of what I meant, is that, like, you wouldn't want to, like, take over the business, move in, and then install cameras and then never come back. That would be a bad
look. Yeah, but if you establish that relationship, you know, if you win the business and you're like, there's no way I'm moving to Las Vegas, but everybody should say, I want to visit Las Vegas. So what better way to visit when you own a tattoo shop? But yeah, you should come and hire the manager you want, get to know them a little bit, and then, you know, establish that connection to where you're talking to them a few times a week, and to where they don't feel weird that there's cameras there. Like, they shouldn't. They should just feel comfortable about it and know that it's for their safety, it's for the client's safety, and it's just part of owning a business.
For sure. And I'd also like to point out, too, that, like, just because you don't live in Las Vegas, like, you know, I just went on vacation and Airbnbs are expensive, you know? Like, it would be worth it to, you know, be able to visit somewhere and, you know, have a place where you can put your stuff or whatever. I mean, I don't think you can sleep there, but you can have a place where you're comfortable, or you can go and kind of, you know, throw something in the office and feel as though it's safe and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a smaller shop. It's a little under 800 square feet. Most of that is taken up by the tattoo area. There is a small office, but it is a very comfortable spot. And, I mean, owning it, I've spent many, many hours there. And I have slept there, you know, not, like, particularly by choice, but just from, like, working late and being like, do I get 5 hours of sleep here to wake up in the morning for my next appointment, or do I spend a half hour driving home and a half hour driving back? But yeah, no, it would be like, I wish I owned a business in every city I went and visited. That'd be great. And to already have, like, an established group of people there where, like, you go there and it's like, hey, what's going on in town? Like, what are you guys up to tonight? Like, you already have this group that, you know, you connect with and you know and you trust in that you can go out and do things with. So, and Vegas is a fun place to visit, for sure. You know, like,
so I've heard.
Yeah. You never been?
No, I've never been. I've heard that it's quite fun, though.
Oh, well, after you win the shop.
Yeah, if I ever come out there, if I come out there in the next year, you'll have to give me a tattoo.
Yeah, I'm down. Absolutely. So,
I am curious, what are the, so, like, I'm assuming you have a couple, like, some long-term artists there. Like, what is kind of the vibe from everybody who works there as far as this is concerned?
One of my artists, who went to a different shop, he actually bought some prints, so he's hoping to win it. Another one of my artists, you can check out his Instagram. It's Javon Glasgow Tattoos. And he's the one who mentioned buying some prints or trying to buy the winning ticket from the person who wins it. My other artist, Nick, his Instagram's Nick Tattoos. It's just NIC, though, no K in Nick. He's actually working on his rap career right now, and I've heard his stuff. It's pretty damn good. He just got back from Seattle last week, and they recorded some pretty fire tracks. But I don't think that he wants to own the shop, but I know that he's very comfortable working here and that he enjoys it here. And then our apprentice, who now is a tattoo artist, Brandon, he would, I imagine, stay. Whoever wins it, they're going to have to talk to the artist and figure out, like, do I want these people working for me? Which I don't know why you wouldn't, because they're established in the shop. But, you know, like, do I vibe with them? And then also, can we come in agreement with, you know, what percentage they're getting paid and what percentage the new owner would like to receive? Me personally, all my clients have been asking me if I'm coming back, if I'm done tattooing, you know, what my plans are. I plan to come back minimum once a year, but I would like to come back more than that, but I'm going to dedicate to once a year to tattoo my clients, hopefully for like a week or two, and just knock out as many tattoos as I possibly can in that 2 weeks. But what better place for me than a shop that I used to own? You know, I'm comfortable there. I know it. All my clients know where it's at. They're comfortable there, than me going to some other shop and not really knowing the surroundings and trying to figure, like, talk to those owners and figure out an agreement on percentage and everything like that. I'd much rather come back to my old house and do work. And also is like a thank you to whoever wins it and hopefully is running it well. You know, it'd be nice to come back and check on it, you know, even though it's not mine anymore. You know, it's like when you sell a car, you know, and you're like, I wonder if they've wrecked that thing yet, or, you know, if that paint job I slapped on there is still buffed out.
Are you nervous about becoming like not a shop owner anymore? Are you worried about the transition back to working for somebody or from having to start over from scratch? Is that something that worries you?
Well, it's never start over from scratch. It's start over from experience. But honestly, I'm not. I'm actually kind of excited to go work for someone else. And it really depends on where my wife and I end up moving, like how close we end up moving to which part of the family. It depends on the climate of that town in tattoo shops. Like, will I start a new tattoo shop there or will I go and work for someone? I'm not sure yet. But I actually am kind of excited to go and work for other artists, other business owners, and learn the business side of it better than what I know. Maybe go to some shops that are really out there and really well known, you know, have a huge presence on Instagram and the internet, or, you know, any of the tattoo shows, and try and learn from them. Because where I'm at right now, it's great, and I feel like I've grown and learned a ton of things, but I feel like if I had a mentor or someone to ask questions to and that type of thing, it could help me reach the next level in my tattooing career, you know, not just as a business owner, but also as an artist. So I'm not nervous about it. I'm pretty excited about it realistically. And I feel like wherever I go, like whatever shop I end up working at, I'm not, like, I'm totally bragging about myself right here, but I don't mean for it to sound like too asshole-ish, but I'm going to be like a godsend for them, because I've dealt with the side of it that they're dealing with, you know, and like, I'm not going to be a headache, because I know how much people can be headaches when they're working for you. So I'm going to be more interested in being as productive as possible so that I can learn what knowledge they have to bestow upon me.
The tattoos and like tattoo culture is so interesting. And I feel like coming into being able to get the opportunity to kind of come into like a full shop like this couldn't happen at a better time
You know what I mean? Because, like, 30 years ago, you know, nobody was getting tattoos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Today,
yeah.
Everybody, every friggin' person on the planet gets tattoos. Everybody gets tattoos. They just made tattooing legal for the first time in Japan.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a huge, huge thing. But, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like, if you were to try and open a tattoo shop 30 years ago, you definitely have to go talk to any of the tattoo shops in that town to make sure you weren't going to get firebombed, you know, or mugged or something like that. So it's definitely a better time. I mean, there's two sides of that. Like, there is a little bit of oversaturation, but because of that, it also has pushed people to be better. You know, like, you have to do better work to stand out in this industry. You have to have a cleaner shop to stand out in this industry. You know, granted, like, bummy shops will always get by because people will always be looking for something for cheap or free. But when you have a really good product, it shows. And right now, and probably for a very long time, tattoos are a great product that so many people want. Everybody wants them. So it is a great business to be in.
I got two more questions for you.
Okay.
The first question is, if you could give any advice to the person who wins the shop, just one piece of advice, what would it be?
Oh, that's a tough question.
That's what we do here. Tough questions.
Yeah, yeah. No, just one piece of advice. That's a tough one. Relax. Man. I don't know. I guess I would just tell them, like, you know, find good artists. Would be, if they weren't an artist, find good artists. Definitely, because that's, like I said, that's your product. So in tattooing, it does matter. It's not like the difference of buying, I don't know, a cheap pair of shoes compared to a little bit more expensive pair of shoes, where the difference isn't that noticeable, you know, unless you're like a sneakerhead or something. But the difference in tattooing is, it's pretty obvious, from someone who does shoddy, shaky tattoos to someone who actually has developed the skill of making good tattoos. And take care of them, you know, because if you take care of them, they will take care of your shop and they will take care of you, you know. And that's really the most important part, like that mutually beneficial business transaction, not just between the customer in the business, but also between the business owner and the workers inside of the business. And that's something I've found to be very, very true. Absolutely. Is like making sure that my guys know, like, I appreciate them and I want them to do well. Like, I'm a business owner and we're all out here to make money. Absolutely. But I want it to be in a fair way, and I want them to know that it's appreciated when they make money for the shop and also reward them for doing so. And that model has seemed to work very well for me. So yeah, I would tell them, you know, find good artists and then establish the relationship and take care of them.
That was a super good answer. I'm really glad that I asked that. Because that holds true for any business. If you take care of your workers will go the extra mile for you. And that's just leadership, which is a whole other topic that, you know, we could spend forever talking about. But good leadership starts, you know, with finding people who you vibe with and who you're never going to take a bum and get them to work super hard for you.
No.
But you can find
no.
someone who wants to work super hard and you can treat them well and they will work very hard for you.
Yeah. In Vegas, like I said, it is pretty saturated. And the thing is, there's a lot of really good artists in some of these shops who aren't being abused or anything like that, but like they're not being treated that well or anything. Like they're there because it's comfortable, but if a better opportunity was presented to them, they wouldn't have loyalty to that shop. So there's plenty of opportunity for workforce in this town, even if the shop was empty. You know, like if the person won it and they didn't retain any of the current artists, there's so many other tattoo artists in Las Vegas. So that's another positive for this opportunity for anyone.
Okay, my very last question. What if you could tattoo one person, who would it be and what would you like to tattoo on them?
Man, you should have asked me that at the start and said, well, you got to answer by the end of the episode. I feel like I got to think on that one for a minute. That is a very, very difficult question. It would be Jesus. So I knew that he existed. No, that's not true. Man, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm kind of into like some of the conspiracy stuff and things like that. So maybe someone like David Icke or like in the psychedelic world, Terrence McKenna. I just did a mushroom tattoo. That'd be perfect for Terrence McKenna. He's like a psychonaut, you know, like does microdoses certain psychedelics and kind of, instead of going out and partying, really focuses on the experience. Oh, here we go. This is the easy one. Neither of them. A tattoo Joe Rogan, man. That'd be amazing.
The cool thing about tattooing, and this is why I wanted to ask you that, is because you don't have to just think about who you want to tattoo. You have to think about who you're going to want to talk to for the next 3 hours while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, you're in kind of a unique position as an artist where you really have someone pinned down. Like, they can't go anywhere.
Yep. sometimes they have you pinned down. They want to tell you about it. You're basically their hairdresser. They want to tell you about everything. You know, some of the stuff I'm like, you shouldn't be telling anybody that.
That's why you have the cameras.
Yeah, to each their own. You want to hear a crazy story?
Hell yeah, I want to hear a crazy story.
Yeah, all right. This is like the most wild thing that's ever happened in this area that the shops. I had this guy come in with his wife, this older guy. I don't know, he's probably 60-something, and he wanted a tattoo on his arm of an all-seeing eye, the all-seeing eye off the dollar bill, right?
Yep.
And so I'm like, okay, cool. We end up doing the tattoo. So I'm talking to him a little bit. And he's like, I'd say he's like 5'7", maybe 140 pounds or so. Like, he's like a smaller guy, right? Older guy. And he's wearing, what was he wearing? I think he was wearing like black leather boots and jeans and like had maybe a leather bracelet or something. So I was like, this guy kind of looks like a truck driver. So I was like, are you a truck driver? You know, what are you in town for? And so he's like, no, I'm not a truck driver. He said that he invented something for the power company and all these power companies use it now. And kind of tells me the story about how he was in prison and he was supposed to be in prison for like, he had like a 140-year sentence. So whatever he did must have been really, really bad. but he studied law in prison. And he got that overturned and got out and invented the thing for the power company. And now he's living his best life and everything. And so I was like, okay, well, like, that's pretty gnarly. And I'm like, so what's the tattoo about, you know? And so he tells me that he's a Mason. And so we talk about Masons a little bit. Like I said, I'm into some conspiracy stuff. And he's like, they're going to be mad that I got this. And I don't know what happened. So I'm not pointing fingers any which way or whatever, but the next day the police call me, they get a hold of me, And then they ask if they can come talk to me at the shop. This dude that night got murdered. Fucking wild,
what?
Man. Yeah. Fucking wild. I could not believe it. So I'm like, yeah, I'll talk to you guys because I want to know what happened. Like, that's insane, right? So they found him, like, a ways away. They said that he was impaled by a fence post. And I was like, well, that definitely sounds like murder, but they were saying that it was suicide. I'm sure they just couldn't tell me the details. And they found he had an ATM receipt from my shop in his pocket. That's how they knew to get a hold of the shop. And they're just asking the general questions. They're like, yeah, this guy's got a record. You know, he wasn't, well, I don't want to talk trash on him or anything, but they said he had a record and everything. And, yeah, man, crazy. I was like, I did that tattoo on him and he said that it was because he was a Mason and he said that they're going to be mad about it. And he got murdered that night. Like, is that related or is that?
That's definitely, that is 100% related. I'm also, so I think conspiracy stuff is really interesting, not necessarily because I believe it, but I've always been super into, like, fantasy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just, like, the ultimate form of that.
Yeah.
So I just
find it super
interesting.
It absolutely is. And the same thing, like you tell me, like, David Icke says the moon is hollow or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I believe that, but it's interesting to think about. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested in, like, the way people come to these conclusions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like,
I watched a video last night that was, I was watching some of the stuff about 9/11 being exposed in movies pre-9/11, which is old stuff, but I was revisiting it, and I watched one about how Home Alone supposedly totally exposed it, but it was... They're like kind of far-fetched things, you know, like they're kind of making relations from things that are like kind of distant from each other. But it's always fun to be like, were these people, how much weed did these people smoke before they came up with this theory, you know?
Yeah, I'm always like, it always, for me, it always comes back to like, if they're so powerful that they're able to do like all of this stuff, like why would they put like these things out there, like, or like how, like why would, I don't know, it's just like the power aspect of it, like they're so powerful they can do this, but they're like, it's like they're almost like Scooby-Doo villains, like they leave all these clues behind, you know, like it's just, that's where I always get hung up. I'm just like, man, if I was that powerful and smart, like no one on the internet would be figuring me out, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree with that too. And I mean, yeah, it's hard to say, though. Some of the stuff is pretty compelling.
I'll be 100% honest. Like, there's times when I'm watching, like, the weirdest, like, reptilian, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, this is totally possible. This is absolutely possible.
Yeah, I believe in reptilians for sure, man. Or some form of super race that's enslaving humanity. It has to be.
Do you remember a couple of years ago, there was a space observer. What do you call those things where there's a giant telescope? An observatory? Space observatory? And it got shut down. It was somewhere, I think, in the Midwest. It got, like, shut down for the day.
Okay.
And, like, the FBI and stuff was there. And it was really, like, it was very strange because, like, the next day, that came out and they were like, so a kid got lost, I think is what they said. So like some kid like got lost. They were trying to find him. But like the FBI was there and like all this stuff. And like the conspiracy theory around it was that there was like alien army on the other side of the sun that like you could see through this telescope. And like, so they didn't want anyone to know about it. So they like shut down this observatory. And like, like obviously that sounds insane, and, like, you can't believe that. But then at the same time, you're like, well, Like, why was like all these major federal agencies out of the telescope for a lost kid, you know?
Yeah. See, that does seem pretty crazy, but at the same time, like you said, why were they there? Did you see that that UFO that they're saying was a Goodyear blimp or whatever over in like Santa Monica, was it?
Yeah. No, it was I don't remember, but yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
What do you think about that?
I saw the video. I mean, I could see, I don't know. I have a hard time really like committing to anything. Cause it seems so crazy. You know what I mean? And like at the end of the day, like if it is aliens, like does it really matter? You know what I mean? I
well,
still have to go to work. You know?
I just want him to come down and get a tattoo, bro. So
yeah, that's it. But... Oh man, you wasted your tattoo on Joe Rogan. You should have said an alien.
Yeah. See, this conversation's perfect for Joe Rogan. He needs to pick us up. Come on, man. But yeah, no, I saw that thing, and so they're also saying that I can't remember the name of the government ship that's shaped like a triangle with the three lights underneath of it. Some people are saying it's that thing. But I mean, surely the government's doing tons of stuff we have no idea about. And anybody who thinks otherwise is totally naive, because if you were the government, why would you tell the public all your secrets?
Right. No, I mean, they're definitely doing stuff that we don't know about. And I think, I mean, it could totally be that. I think the Goodyear blimp, I feel like, because so many people saw it and so many people were confused about it, like the Goodyear blimp, I feel like someone would have been like, oh, no, that's just the blimp. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if you watch the videos, it doesn't look anything like a blimp at all.
It doesn't. And also, like, if it was a blimp, like, that would be, like, a normal part of everyone's life over there. You know what I mean? Like, no one – I mean, like, I might be wrong about this, but, like, the highway was, like, stopped, right? And, like, people were, like, getting out of cars and stuff. Like, it was not – it wasn't, like, normal occurrence.
And looking at it, like, is there a NASCAR track right there? Like, what was someone doing?
Well, I'm really glad this conversation took this turn.
Yeah, we'll have to do another episode and we'll just talk random conspiracies.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
What do you
normally talk about on your show? Just like anything and everything?
Yeah, pretty much whatever. Whatever I find interesting. Like I saw your thing and I thought, wow, that's really cool that someone's doing that. I would just really love to talk to them and talk about you know, their thought process. I try to keep it on, like, you know, a lot of the things I'm interested in are, like, the trades, blue-collar people, like, just, like, talking to people who are, like, normal every day-to-day, kind of day-to-day people who are out there doing their thing and how they got into it. And I just think, not to get too philosophical, but, like, I feel like everybody has a story and everybody's story is interesting. And, like, I feel a lot of times, the only people who get to tell their story are, you know, people who just, I don't know. I feel like not enough normal people get to tell their story, because I think a lot of, like, I just think so many normal people have such interesting stories that they should be able to tell them.
I
just kind of wanted to create a platform that would let people do that. So here I am.
Yeah, no, it's crazy what people will tell you or what you find out about them when you absolutely wouldn't expect it. They just seem like a normal person. Like that story I told you, man, that guy looked like just some smaller, older guy who looked like a truck driver. And lo and behold, like that was one of the most crazy things that has ever happened, that I've witnessed happen. I mean, I didn't witness the murder or suicide.
Be careful what you say.
Yeah. I didn't witness any of that, but that'd be on record. But like that turn of events and having police come and interview me about it and everything, like, you know, I could have just done that tattoo and not said anything to this guy, but I asked him a few questions about his story and that's what unfolded. So yeah, it's, you're absolutely right. It's super wild. And people do have some wild stories who you'd never expect it from, because they're not in the limelight.
Dude, you literally have that wild story. Like, you're here because you have that wild story. Like, that's the thing. Like, I found you online, and, like, you know, as big and as amazing and as huge as this thing is in your life, like, at the end of the day, this is going to be a small blip on, like, humanity's radar. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, but no, this is, like, for me, this is the shop raffle is a monumental event in my life. And whoever wins this place, unless there's someone who is already super established and owns businesses and everything else, whoever wins this place, it is going to be a life-changing event for them. It is going to be enormous. And that's one of the things that makes me so excited about doing this and doing it the way that I am doing it, instead of just putting it up for sale and selling it to the highest bidder. Like, giving everybody opportunity to change their life completely for the rest of their life if they want, you know, like someone could step into this industry who's never been a part of it and learn how to run the shop or figure out how to run it better than a bunch of the other places around here. And it could provide the passive income for them to live any way they want to, you know? So it's a huge, huge thing. And I'm so glad that you had me on, and I'm just trying to get the word out about it, because I don't want people to miss out on this. Like, it helps me for people to buy prints, but also it is something that can be such a huge thing for someone else and completely change their life. And like, there's a lot of bad shit going on right now, and this is something that it could be a super positive experience for someone. So
I would like to formally invite the person who wins to come on the podcast.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And talk with me about it. And I would also like to, as the date gets closer, I'd love to have you back on too to kind of talk about how things are shaping up.
Yeah, that would be great. The person who wins, we should conference call it.
Hell yeah, we should.
That'd be fucking rad. And so, once again, Nick, thank you so much for having me. If I can, one last thing I'd like to mention, if anyone is still listening, if they made it through all that conspiracy theory stuff, I'd just like to let everybody know the website is winatattooshop.com. The Instagram is the same, winatattooshop. On the website, all the information is there. I tried to answer the same in this podcast. I tried to answer all the questions and think of all the possibilities of, hey, what if this, what if that, and answer those. There's a frequently asked question page on there. It covers all that stuff. There's another page that says our story, and that's just some of the basics about me as a tattoo artist and how the shop became what it was. And I think that one also has a map of the footprint of the shop, so you can kind of see, there's tons of pictures on there of the shop, but there's like a blueprint of the footprint of it, so you can kind of see the square footage and how it's laid out, which I feel like is handy for someone who would be winning the business to kind of know what they're stepping into. And then there's also a map of where the shop is located in Las Vegas, and a list of all the major things that we're close to, like I said, the convention center, Hard Rock, the college, the Link, how far we are from the Strip. And we're really close to the airport as well, which is a very good place to be close to. So all that information's on the website. And then in the print section, that's where you can pick up a print. And with every print comes a golden ticket. And like I said, the first 100 orders, which we haven't hit yet, so there's still time. The first 100 orders, I'm throwing in an extra ticket. So one print will get you two tickets. So that's a super bonus for you. And also, there is a merch section on the website if you want to pick up a T-shirt or a sticker. And I think we have face masks on there, Black Woman face masks, and maybe a couple other things. But yeah. Anybody who's interested, or maybe even semi-interested, I encourage you to go to the website and just read through some of the literature of the story of the shop and what's inside of it and what you could win and how big of an opportunity this actually is.
I would like to say, just for my part, like, if I thought that this was any kind of, like, it sounds like, it honestly sounds like it's too good to be true. I've looked into this personally, you know, pretty heavily, because I wouldn't have invited someone on here who I didn't feel like was legit. And I could, you know, I only know Caleb through the phone call, and there's no way for me to, like, 100% guarantee you that this is real. But from everything that I can see, Caleb is 100%, you know, an awesome dude, and he's doing something that's amazing. And I personally plan on buying, you know, several prints to try and win myself a tattoo shop.
Yeah. And here's one last piece of information that will help legitimize this whole thing for anybody who could still be like, well, this is a scam. It's too good to be true, is what most people are saying. But if you look at the numbers, it only seems too good to be true because you're spending $50 on a print and you're winning an established business with over $15,000 worth of supply and inventory. But if you look at the total number, it isn't, and that's why I've set it up this way. That number of prints to sell before it's the 60 days out, the hopeful number, my goal number to reach at a minimum, is that 2,021 prints. If I sell 2,021 prints, that's a little over $100,000.
I think it was $101,800 and something dollars. I did the math. That was the thing that convinced me.
Yeah. So that's what I've been trying to tell people, because they're like, why would you give your business away? I'm not giving it away. In a way, I'm selling it. It's just the person who's receiving it is only spending, if they buy one print, they're only spending $50. So that's what makes it such an epically good deal for them. And all the other people who spent that money, they didn't just throw their money in the wind. They're getting a print of custom artwork from us, you know, so they're getting something that they can hang on their wall and enjoy, you know. They're not left empty handed. So I've made this deal beneficial for everybody involved, as well as myself, because I'm trying to make that 2021 print sale, which is that a little over $100,000, which would be a great gift for me to gift the shop to someone else, you know, like that benefits me. It's not like I'm at a loss because I'm giving my shop away, which I feel like is the impression that people are under. I'm like, do a little bit of math real quick, and you can see why I took this approach and why it's good for me as well as everybody else involved.
I actually just thought of something else that I hadn't thought of before. What's the tax situation for the person who wins this?
Tax situation?
Like, so if they, like, when you win a lottery, like, there's a tax that happens. Do you know what that is?
I don't know what that is, but this is my understanding of let me ask you this. Do you know when you buy a business, is there a tax situation?
I have no idea. I honestly don't. I'm just a dumb guy who swings a hammer, and I don't know. I just know that, like, if, like,
We're screwed, man. I'm just a dumb guy who draws pictures.
I was just thinking, because I remember, did you ever see that show Extreme Makeover?
Yeah.
So, like, part of that was, like, they, like, when they make over your house, they also give you the money to cover the, like, the tax expense of it, because it's considered a win of the lottery.
Well,
I didn't know what that was.
Here's my understanding of it so far from the research that I've done and the people I've talked to who work on legal things much bigger than anything that I've dealt with, is that I'm selling prints. I'm not selling raffle tickets. So it's a free, the raffle tickets are free. They come with the print. It's a free raffle, essentially. So there's no taxes on something that is free. And then also, I looked into that because in Las Vegas, you have to have a gaming license to do a lottery, right? So I called the gaming commission and I asked them, they said, if you're giving away the prize the day of that you're selling the tickets, you can do it. Tons of people sell raffle tickets here and they never have to do anything with the state. But this is such a big thing and that I'm hoping that it'll reach such a wide audience. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to hit any potholes like that. And so I asked them, originally I was like, what if I sell t-shirts and you get a free raffle ticket? And they're like, well, you're going to sell the shirt and the ticket's going to be free. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, why are you calling us then? It's a free raffle. You don't need to talk to us. I was like, okay. So then I just changed it along the way to sell prints instead of shirts because I bought a bigger selection. You know, we have 24 prints on the website, whereas right now our shop, we only have like 4 shirt designs. So I thought it'd be a lot cooler. Also, it's something that lasts forever. So as far as I know, and like I said, the research I've done, and I can do more research or people can look into it for themselves or whatever. The raffle is free. So you can't put any tax on top of something that's free. As far as signing the business over or anything like that, if we run into any unforeseen problems in that, which I can't imagine that we will, I'm planning to, when the person wins, I'm gifting them the business. If that is not possible for some reason, which I don't know why it wouldn't be, but if it's not, then I will make them a managing member on my LLC and put them as a member on all the business licenses and everything else, and then let myself fall off of them. So in a way, like we'll both be on them for a minute, and then it will be just them, you know, it'll be like the way that we can pass the torch.
Gotcha.
Cool. But,
yeah, I didn't mean to throw that curveball at you. I was just thinking about, that just popped into my head.
No, it's a great question. But yeah, as far as the raffle, it's a free raffle. So it's not a lottery because there's no money involved.
Gotcha. And I would, even though, you know, you sound like you have this under control, everybody, I would always encourage everybody to do their own research on something like this, just so that you understand what you're getting yourself into.
Yep.
Because you don't want to come into this blind. You know what I mean? I would encourage anybody who wants to start a business to look into it.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like I said, it's about the same, like you're going to have to give up pretty much the same information as you do when you sign a house lease or apartment lease and everything like that. But yeah, do a little research for sure on, you know, what it takes to own a business in Nevada, what licenses you need. I'll tell you what I have and what I've needed, which is I needed an LLC, which I have the LLC, and then you buy a DBA, which is you're doing business as, I'm doing business as Black Omen. And then you have a state business license and a county business license, and then a business bank account so that you can have a tax ID number. And then you just get a hold of the health department, which all our licenses are completely current and everything. So we just switch those over to the winner's name, and you just renew all that stuff once a year. And that's it, man. So, and put the utilities in your name, which this shop, because of the way this building is, there's a thing called CAMS, that's your common area maintenance, but ours includes the water. So that's all rolled into the rent. So you don't even have to put water or gas in your name. The only thing you have to do is get the electricity turned on, and then, you know, if you want internet and that type of thing, you got to put that stuff in your name.
You want.
yeah. I mean, you should definitely have, but, you know, that sounds like kind of a long laundry list, but in reality, it's pretty simple stuff,
yeah,
man.
That doesn't sound difficult at all, considering the, like we were saying, considering the, what you're getting for the amount of work. I mean,
yeah,
you had to do all that, and you didn't even have a business when you first started, you know.
we're going to keep dragging this out, apparently, which is totally fine. But I really, another reason I want to pass the torch the way I am is I really lucked out in starting this business. I was working down on Fremont Street, and one my artist, Nick, he was like, we should just open our own shop. And I've thought about it for, you know, I thought about it for like a decade, and I was like, no, I just tattoo for other people. And finally, we were like, yeah, we should open our own shop. And one of the guys I worked with, he actually used to own this very shop, but he went through a nasty divorce and moved to California, let it close, and the building sat empty for 4 years. And then he came back to Vegas, and we ended up working together. So when we decided to open a shop, we came and looked at this place, and it was still vacant, and he still had all the paperwork for it. So instead of me having to, you know, get the aerial shots of it, how the plumbing's run, get the permits to build it out, and all these huge headaches, like these are huge headaches that you'd have to go through to open a shop from scratch. I was fortunate enough to get all those files from him and be able to go into the county clerk's office and just hand them all those papers. And they're like, yeah, these are all legit. We're good to go. Here's your business license and everything else. I did have to go to 2 town meetings, which it really wasn't that bad, to get a special use permit. But because we're operating now, the person who comes into this, they don't have to do any of that. So
I imagine a Las Vegas town meeting must be just amazing to attend, though.
it was actually pretty small, but there was some good like comedy in there, and there's Top Golf was trying to open some new stuff, and this guy you could tell like maybe hadn't worked for them so long, or he didn't really have all his things in order, came up to pitch like this new area that they wanted to open up. And there was a couple senior citizens there who lived like across the street, and they just like chewed him out. It was pretty good. Like they laid into him, and then all the, do you call them judges, or what do you call the people who sit on the board for that type of stuff?
Board members.
Oh, sorry. There you go. See, I told you, I just draw pictures. The board members, like, totally sided with the senior citizens, which they should. There's already a Top Golf, and I'm sure they're doing just fine. But they sided with the senior citizens, and they just let this guy have it, too. And it was pretty great. I had to go up after him. So I went up, and I put, like, the presentation up on the board, and I was like, go easy on me, guys. Like, I'm not trying to take over anything like these guys are. And they just laughed, and like five minutes went by of me telling them I want to open a tattoo shop in this area. They're like, yeah, man, you're great. Get out of here. You know, I guess I lucked out kind of going after that guy. But all that stuff, the good news is it's all taken care of already. So signing the lease and doing the utilities and that stuff, that's so simple. Man, that is so incredibly simple, especially for what the person is receiving.
Can you just tell me one more time where people can find you?
Well, Black Omen, if they want to visit us in Las Vegas, is at 48.
Yeah, I meant like I meant the website and stuff. But where can people visit you? That'd be even cooler.
Yeah, yeah. If anybody wants to come get tattooed, or if you want to come pick up a print in person and meet me and see the shop, if you buy a print in the shop, you won't have to pay the shipping and handling, so you save a little money there. It's at 4080 Paradise Road, Las Vegas, Nevada, obviously. We are right by between Buca de Beppo and Morton's, which this parking lot fills up every night, so that's great news for the new shop owner as well, close to the Hard Rock. The website is winatattooshop.com, and the Instagram is the same. So check both those out. And like I said, we're still up and running as a business as well. So, one thing that I didn't cover, I wish I would have said this earlier. Every golden ticket also has a $10 gift certificate on it. So that's another way that I'm making this transaction mutually beneficial. So you're spending $50 on a print, but you're getting a $10 gift certificate. So if you're trying to get tattooed as well, you know, you're going to save a little money there. And just another reason that, you know, get on the website, buy a print, come by and see us, get a cool tattoo, and maybe become the owner of the place that you got tattooed at.
I could totally see this kind of it's almost like you're crowdsourcing your selling, right? Like I could see this kind of like lottery raffling off your like business becoming like a thing that people do. So like I think it's really cool that you're kind of like,
I was thinking about that. I was like, if I could blow this up big enough and it could get enough positive feedback, I should approach like TLC or something and start a show where we go around to businesses where people are just ready to be out of the industry or move somewhere else, and we take their business and like, you know, sell a product and get the public awareness of that business out there, and then one person wins it and takes it over, and then you come back in and visit them and see how they're doing running their new business that they won for basically, you know, fractions of a cent on the dollar.
That would be amazing. I would absolutely watch that show, TLC. Get on it.
Yeah, it'd be fun. and I said it here on the podcast first, so if they steal my idea, that's theft of intellectual property, and we will be going to court.
Well, Caleb, I hope you have a wonderful night. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Awesome, Nick. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, brother.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for checking out today's episode of the podcast. I really appreciate it. If you enjoyed it, if you could do me a favor and go ahead, if you're on Apple, if you could subscribe and give me a 5-star review, I would really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Go check out Caleb's raffle he's got going on, because it's pretty sweet. I know I myself am buying a few tickets. Anyway, thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.